start. Today's daf is Tes Zayin. We start now on Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we're approximately four lines up before the end of the daf. And we're up to Omar of Ami Bimadif, Rava Omar Imhayu Nisunim Arev Nosim Shasi Nosno Arev. So yesterday we were speaking about a sukkah, and the roof of the sukkah is made up of two elements. One is schach posel, which is called shipudim. They're made of metal, and they have the din of a keli, and a keli is mekabel tuma. And the Mishnah says in sukkah, anything that's mekabel tuma is posel for schach. But between the different spits, these shipudim, the metal poles, you have open space where you put the schach. And according to Rabbi Ami's interpretation of this braisa, so we're talking about a case where he leaves a little bit of extra space between the shipudim so that he'll be able to move in and out, meaning he's got to have himself some space in order to place the schach. So it turns out that he has more schach kosher than schach posel. And Rava says that he's got the schach posel and the schach kosher going in two different directions. He's got shipudim that are erev. Erev means they go from one side to the other. That means horizontal. And we could call it mimizrach lemairov, if you want, from east to west. And that's where he puts the non-kosher schach, which is made out of metal. And then shisi, which means up and down, north and south, he places the kosher schach. And the kosher schach is now laying on top of the non-kosher schach. And in such a case, the schach that is kosher, since it is sitting on top of the schach that's posel on the shipudim, and therefore what we're going to have is that there will be more schach kosher than schach posel. Toshma, we have now a raya for Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that paritz ka'omed, if the amount of mechitza that's solid is equal to the amount of airspace, then it's possible. And we're going to support him from a braisa. That's the opinion of Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Shayora shechansa bibika, you have a caravan of people. We'll see how many people there are in this caravan, in this group. And they take an encampment in an open field. They want to be able to carry within their camp on Shabbos. Hikifua bigmalim ubu kafos. And this area where they are camped is now surrounded by both camels and saddles. Now we turn to Daf Tezayin. Be'avitim. Avitim are certain kinds of pillows that are usually placed underneath the saddle. And b'shlifin, they have other sorts of carried packages. Kunim, b'kolchos, they have reeds, and they have vegetable kluchim, the leaves of the vegetables. And basically, what they do is they pile all this around in a circle around the camp. Is then these various objects, including the animals, serve as mechitzos to close the area, and metaltul besocha, therefore you're allowed to carry in a bikkur. Normally we would not be allowed to carry in this open area of a field, but now that we surrounded the machne, the shayora, with mechitzos, we're allowed to carry within. Ubilvad shelo yeh bein gamal gamal kimlo gamal. The condition is that there should not be an airspace between one camel and another, which is an airspace the size of the width of a camel, ubein ukaf lu ukaf kimole ukaf, or between one saddle and another saddle, an airspace, a separation, a distance that you could put another saddle there, ubein ovit la ovit kimolo. The ovit, we said, were those pillows, from one pillow to the other, the kimolo ovit, that this should be that open space. So what we see clearly from this brisa is that it's not enough to have a mechitza, which is omed, a solid substance, that is equal to the shear, to the amount of space as the parutz, the open space, which would be Rav Papa's shita. Then, if you accept Rav Papa, then even in a situation where the space between one camel and the other, etc., is equal to that of a camel, that would be a case of parutz ke'omed domi. But rather, we need that it be omed merubala parutz, and this is a proof now for Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua, that we need more closed area than open area. And the Gemara answers, Hachinami, I'll give you the same answer that I gave earlier, kishe nichnas v'yotze. In other words, in the airspace between one gamal and the other gamal, you need a shear that you can bring a gamal in, and you need a little bit of extra space to make sure that you have enough of a distance to place the gamal there. And in such a case, it's going to be parutz meruba al ha'omet, because you're going to add this extra space in order to fit in the camel. That's going to mean that you have more open space than you have omed. But in a case where you would be able to fit in the gamal exactly in that space, that would make it omed kiparutz dami, and according to Rav Papa, that would be a mechitza kshera. Toshma, now the Gemara brings a proof from a brisa to support Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua and to raise an objection to Rav Papa. Toshma, let's learn this brisa. And the brisa says, Nimtes ata omer, we're talking about a tosefta in Masechta Kelayim, and in order to separate the vine from the grains that you want to plant, or the other kinds of zroim, you need to set up a mechitza. And this brisa says, Shalosh midos b'mechitzos, which means that there are three different categories of mechitzos. We're going to go through all three of them one by one, and each one has its own status, its own laws, its own regulations. So we start with the first category. The first category is kolshu pachos mishlosha. You have a mechitza that's made up of reeds, and each one of these reeds is quite thin, and it's less than three tefachim. So your omed, meaning your mechitza, the solid part of the mechitza, is more narrow than three tefachim. In such a case, where your mechitza, your omed, is very limited, that's on the lowest madrigas, tzarch sheloye bein zeh lazeh shlosha. You have to guarantee that between one standing reed and the other, there will not be an opening of three tefachim of airspace. Why? Because if there's an opening of three tefachim of airspace between one pole and the next, then if it's more than three tefachim of airspace, then it's kedesh lo yizdaker hagedi bevas rosho, which means that the goat can push itself through this opening between the two poles. And in such a case, the mechitza is psula. It's only when you have less than three tefachim of airspace between one pole and the next, and we apply the principle of lavud, which makes it into sasum, then the mechitza is kshera. and we don't care about the principal parts, Merubala Omeid, once we have love, because it's considered that the Omeid is all susum, it's all blocked up, it's all closed. But if there's a revach of Shlosha Tfachim between one pole and the next, then it's impossible to apply the principle of Lovud, and therefore you have this airspace between one pole and the other that allows the Gedim to break through, and it's not called a Mechitza. So that's category number one. Now we go on to the second category, Kolshu Shlosha. Now we have a Mechitza that has the width of three Tfachim. That gives it a certain amount of chashivas to it. And the second category that we're dealing with now is a mechitza that has, or each one of the amudim, each one of these poles or pillars, have from three tefachim and up to four tefachim, because the third category is going to be the most chashiv of an amud, which is going to be four tefachim. But now we're in the middle category, which is from three to four. Is then tzarech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh kimlow. We have to make sure that the airspace between one pillar and another pillar is not the same as the size of the amud, of the pillar itself. Kidei shelo yehi parutz ke'omed. Because if the airspace is equal to the width of the pillars, of the amudim, then you have a situation where the parts equals the omeid, the airspace is equal to the closed space of the mechitza. And again, this particular brisa seems to support the opinion of Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yoshua, that in a case of parutz ke'omeid, if it's equal, open, and closed, then it's no good, it's awesome. But the imaya parts meruba al ha'omeid is af kenegeda omeid asur. Meaning the difference between parts ke'omeid and parts meruba al ha'omeid is whether or not you're allowed to plant zrayim on the other side of the omud, exactly next to the omud, not next to the open spaces. So if you have parts ke'omeid and you have an equal closed and open area, space, then you cannot plant anything, any zroim, within proximity of the vineyard, even on the other side of the omeid, of the omud. Masha'enken, if you have, I'm not sure what I just said, so I'm going to say it again. If you have poritz ka'omeid dami, if it's equal, then at least you're allowed to plant on the other side of the omeid. But if on the other hand it's parts merubala omeid, then it's worth nothing, meaning it's completely null and void, and you cannot even plant on the other side of the omeid. Now we get to the third category, kol shu arba. What happens if the amud, this pillar that's forming a mechitza, has the width of four tefachim or more? Later on we'll see the separate category if the amud is 10 amos wide, but now we're talking about 4 tefachim wide, and anything above 4 tefachim up to 10 amos is tzarech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh kimlo'o. We have to make sure that there's no airspace between these amudim of 4 tefachim that are equal to the 4 tefachim, or whatever the size of the amud is. Shaloyeh parutz ke'omeid. So we have to guarantee ourselves that we don't have airspace which is equal to the omeid, because in that case, it's going to disqualify the mechitza. V'mahaya parutz ke'omeid is kenegeda omeid mutar. But if the parutz is equal to the omeid, then you'd be allowed to plant kilayim on two sides of the omeid. But keneged haparutz asur. But if you want to plant in the area that's open space, that's prohibited. Now the Braisa adds another couple of dinim that are relevant to all categories and types of mechitzos. a general rule. V'im haya omed meruba ala paritz. If you have more omed than paritz, is af keneged paritz mutar. You're allowed to plant even in the area that's open. Nifritza biyoser mi eser asur. If you have a mechitza that has a breach that's more than 10 amos, that's called a pirtza. It's not called a pesach, it's a pirtza, and the whole mechitza is invalid. However, hayusham kanim hadokranim, if on both sides of this very wide pirtza that's more than 10 amos, he sets up what's called a tsuras hapesach, which means kanim dokranim, so he has poles that are sharp, like a pencil sharp at the bottom, and he knocks them into the ground. V'yoselem peya milomala. You remember the word peya means that they used to take branches and braid them. So he braids a branch, milomala, and he lays it down on these two poles. Is then afilu b'yosem yesem mutter. Even if the open area is more than 10 amos, we have what's called the tzuras hapesach, and that's considered as if he was so saying the pirtza, as if he closed up this open area. Okay. Now we go back to the earlier parts of the Braisa, the Shalosh Midos, and we're going to see how this impacts on the Machlok Shin Rav Papa, who holds that parts ka'omed is kosher, as opposed to Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua holds that parts ka'omed is os. K'tani mi'as reisha. Let's go back to the Reisha. Now, it's a little bit confusing here. The word Reisha here, in this context, means what we call the Seifa of the Reisha, which is the second of the three Midos. And it says there in the Braisa that Mishlosha V'yadarba, if he has an Amud for a Mechitza that is three Tfachim wide, then it's kshera bilvad shelo yehe bein zela ze kimelo. As long as there's no airspace between one amud and the other that's equal to the size of the amud, which let's say the amud would be 3.5 tfachim. So the Braisa disqualifies this mechitza if the airspace is 3.5 tfachim, separating one amud from the next one on its right or on its left. Is tyuvta derav papa. Now, if this braisa is disqualifying 3.5 and 3.5, meaning they're both equal, the parutz and the meruba, then this must support the opinion of Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua against Rav Papa, because Rav Papa holds that parutz ke'omed is mutter. Amalcha Rav Papa, Rav Papa reinterprets the braisa, my melo'o. What is the word malo'o, that there shouldn't be kimalo'o between one amud and the other? It means nichnas v'yotze. It means, again, like we discussed before with regard to the sukkah, a little bit of extra airspace to facilitate putting the amudim up, and now it becomes parts meruba ala omed. Hachinami mistabra. It's logical to assume that this braisa holds that you have to add to kimloa nichnas v'yotze. In other words, you have to avoid a situation of parutz meruba ala omed k'tani, because in the next part of the braisa it says v'im haya parutz meruba ala omed is af keneged ha'omed asur. It means that we disqualify this mechitza because it's parutz meruba ala omed, as I state. That's what it says in the braisa. And then you're not allowed to plant even keneged ha'omed, even on the two sides of the, you know, vine and zroim on two sides of the omed, of the mechitza. And now we can be medayik from the lashon of the braisa, ha ke'omed, if it would have been parutz ke'omed, and it would be 50-50 equal, mutter, then you'd be allowed to, you'd qualify the mechitza as being valid, and you'd be matir planting zroim on both sides. Shmamina, we see therefore that the braisa only prohibits a case of parts meruba ala omed, which supports Rav Papa, but if it would be parts ke'omed, then it would be mutter, because the braisa only disqualifies the case of parts meruba ala omed. So the Gemara now asks, Lema tevi tyuvta de Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, Should we now assume that this brice is clear-cut proof against Rav Huna, and we've established clearly, like Rav Papa, that parts ka'omi dami is mutar? Amalacha, so Rav Huna is going to say, wait a second, ulitamech, and according to you, Rav Papa, Amos Seifa, how are you going to interpret the Seifa? And in the Seifa, it says, Vimhaya omed merubal aparutz is af keneged aparutz mutar. That if the omed is greater than the parutz, then it's mutar. The implication is ha kiparutz, if it would be equal omed kiparutz, then also. So the Gemara now summarizes. Seifa kashel Rav Papa, Reisha kashel Rav Huna, Vrei Rav Yeshua. We have a Seifa that seems to imply that parts kibaruba would be asur, and that's a kashel Rav Papa. We have a Reisha, which again, as we said before, is the Reisha of the Seifa of the Reisha. That's against Rav Huna because we were medayik from the Reisha that only if it's parts meruba la omed is asur, but if it be parts ka omed it's mutar. And the Gemara answers, Seifa l'Rav Papa lo kasha. I don't have a problem or an objection against Rav Papa from the Seifa, which seems to imply that only if it's Amud Merubala parts is it mutter, because either the Tani Reisha parts Merubala Ome, Tani Seifa Ome Merubala parts. Since in the Reisha, it mentions a case where the mechitza is completely disqualified because it's parts merubala omed. So in the Sefer, when he wants to tell you that the mechitza is valid, he switches it around and he makes it into omed merubala parts, but really, parts ka omed would also be kosher. Now, in a similar way, we could say, according to Rav Huna, Reisha l'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua lo kasha, i.e. the boy l'misle Sefer, Omed Merubala Paritz is Tana Reisha Paritz Merubala Omed. Since in the Seifa, he wants to tell you that it's only Mutter in a case where you have Omed Merubala Paritz. Therefore, in the Reisha, he uses the flip side to be symmetrical, and he says, when is it possible? It's Paritz Merubala Omed. But in truth, even if it would have been Paritz Ke Omed, it would have been Asur. The Bor now goes back to the Bryce and raises another Kasha on Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua, Bishlami Rav Papa. We understand the sequence of laws as it's presented in this price. So going to Rav Papa, Mishum Hachi, Lo Ariv Lahu, Vitani Lahu. We want to understand how the price and why the price sets up the Dinim of Mechitza and has two categories. We're talking about the first two midos. And that is, number one, where the width of the amud is less than 3 tefachim, and number two, where the width of the amud is 3 tefachim or more, up to 4 tefachim. And according to Rav Papa, the distinction between those two categories is justified, and therefore, lo ariv lehu vitani lehu. It did not combine in one bava, in one section, one paragraph, both the dinim of a mechitza that have less than a rochav of 3 tefachim, together with the dinim of a mechitza that have a width of 3 tefachim. Instead, it could have really shortened it in a bridge form, and it could have said, kol shu pachos mishlosha, u shlosha, is tzarech shelo yehei bein zel ozeh shlosha. And the answer is, because these are two dinim, and they are two different dinim. Why? Because in a case where the amud is less than 3 tefachim, you have to guarantee that there shouldn't be 3 tefachim of airspace between one amud and the next one, because once it's 3 tefachim, it leaves the category of lavud. But in a case where the omed, meaning the pillar, is 3 tefachim or more, the mechitza is a mechitza ksher, it's valid, even if there would be 3 tefachim between one amud and the other. Why? Because Rav Papa Shita is that parts ka omed is mutter. So therefore you now have an omed which is 3 tefachim, and now you have a distance, an airspace between one omud and the next one of 3 tefachim, which means you can't apply the principle of lavud. Nevertheless, it's going to be kosher. And why is that? Because it becomes Paritz Ke'omed, which according to Rav Papa is Mutter. El Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds that Paritz Ke'omed is Asur, which means, therefore, that even if the Amud would be 3 Tfachim wide, nevertheless, if the airspace between one Amud and the one on the left or on the right is 3 Tfachim, it would be possible to be Asur, because it would be Paritz Ke'omed is Le'ar Vinu V'lis Ninu. According to Rav Huna, they should have combined the first two categories in the Brisa, and they should have just meant, it should have been formulated in the following way, Kol Shu Pachos Mishlosha Ve, or Shlosha, if it is wide by 3 Tfachim, Tzok Shlo Yeh Ben Zel Ezeh Shlosha Tfachim. Because if there's an airspace of 3 Tfachim between one Amud and the other, whether or not the Amud is less than 3 Tfachim wide, or 3 Tfachim wide, it's still going to be possible, because you have a case of Omed Kimeruba Dami. So how do we justify, according to Rav Huna, the distinction between category number 1 and category number 2? The Brisa could have easily have integrated these two into form one single whole. And the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Even according to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, there is a distinction between these two categories, category number 1 and category number 2, meaning whether it's less than 3 Tvachim wide or it's 3 Tvachim wide. Mishum de lo dami, psula de reisha, psula de seifa. There's a difference between when there's airspace of 3 Tvachim in the reisha, and when there's airspace of 3 Tvachim in the Seifa. Psula de Resha, the reason why in the case of an Amud, which is less than 3 Tvachim wide, the 3 Tvachim of airspace passels it, that's Kadesh Lo Yizdakir HaGedib V'Asachas, because unless, once you have an airspace of 3 Tvachim, then the goats can break through this airspace, and therefore that would completely undermine the law of Lavud. And in that case, you need an airspace that is between one pole or one pillar and the next one of less than 3 Tfachim. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of Lavud, which means that the Gedi, the goat, cannot break through. But Psula the Seifa, in the case where you have, for every one of those pillars, 3 Tfachim of width, there, if there is an airspace of 3 Tfachim between one Omed and the other, then the Psul is a different Psul, Shelo Yehe Poritz Ki Omed. In other words, if you have 3 Tfachim of airspace equal to the 3 Tfachim of width, then the Psul is not because of the impossibility of applying Lavud, since the airspace is 3 Tfachim, but rather because the airspace is now equal to the closed space. And again, the Gemara is not making a halachic distinction between category number 1 and category number 2, but rather a conceptual distinction. And there are two different reasons why the airspace of 3 Tfachim undermines and disqualifies the Mechitza. In the first case, where the Amud is less than 3 Tfachim, then the psul and the mechitza is because there's no possibility of saying lavud if the airspace is 3 tfachim. In the second case, where the width of the amud is 3 tfachim, then the airspace of 3 tfachim undermines and disqualifies the mechitza for a totally different reason. Has nothing to do with the absence of lavud, but rather has to do with the principle called paritz ka'ome dami, which passels a mechitza. Now the Gemara asks a contradiction in the Brisa. The Reish of the Brisa says that if you have these, we call them poles or reeds, and the width is pachos mishlosha, and the width between one reed and the next one is less than 3 tfachim, then you're allowed to plant on both sides kilayim. As long as you don't have an airspace of 3 tfachim between one pole and the next. Mani, whose sheet does that reflect as far as lavud is concerned? Rabbanani, the amri pachas mishlosha amrin and lavud. Shlosha lo amrin and lavud. So the Reisha certainly reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, that love it depends upon three Tvachim, but Ema Seifa, let's look at the Seifa of this Braisa, Kolshu Shlosha, Umishlosha V'yad Arba, which means that if you have three Tvachim, or anything up to four Tvachim, then we have to make sure that the airspace between one Amud and the other is not equal to the size of the Amud. But now we're talking about an airspace that's even more than three tefachim, up to four tefachim. Is therefore tezayin amid beis hason le Rabbi Shimon Gamliel diomar pachas mi'arba love. It seems that the sefer reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds that love it depends on four tefachim. The irabanan, because if this sefer the brisa reflects the shita's chachamim, then mishloshev v'yad arba. Even if the rochav, the width of the machitzas above is greater than three tefachim, up to four tefachim, is nevertheless shloshav arba chadhu. There is no difference between three and four, meaning that if the airspace between them is more than three tefachim, automatically it removes the applicability and the validity of lavud. Amar Abaye, midereisha rabbanon sefer nami rabbanon. Since we see clearly that the Reisha reflects the Shita of the Chacham, that love depends on three Tfachim, we're going to have to defend the Sefer as well and make sure that the Sefer can be reconciled with the Chachamim so that we have a consistency in this Brais. How do we do this? By applying the following rule. Umodu Rabbanan. Rabbanan agreed to Rab Shimon Gamliel, the Chol Mishra Kin Negdo. Which means that the Sefer the Braisa, reflecting the Shitas Chachamim, they concede the Chachamim to Rav Shimon Gamliel that if you want to have a Mechitza that has the Chashivus to at least be Matir planting Kinegda, so it means that the Mechitza itself is not valid in its entirety, because what you have here is an airspace that is more than three tefachim, and therefore you cannot apply the principle of lavud. But what you might be able to do is, at least lemishra kenegda, to allow you to plant your zroim on that area, on the two, right, zroim and kerem on two sides of the amud. Why? Because the amud is considered chashuv. It's got a width of four tefachim. But v'lo, if it doesn't have the width of four tefachim, then it cannot be matir zriyas kilayim from two sides. So the chachamim will maintain the following distinction. There's a din of lavud, and then there's a din of mechitza to be matir kilayim. As far as the din of lavud is concerned, it all depends on three tefachim. But as far as the ability to be matir kilayim, Zrayas kilayim means on the two sides of the mechitza, then if there is a pole or a pillar that's four tefachim wide, that gives it a certain significance, such that now I can plant my vine on one side of these four tefachim of amud, and I can plant my zroim on the other side, and there's no isur kilayim. Rava Amar, Rava takes the opposite approach. Midas Seifa Rava Shimon Gamliel, since we've proven that the Sefer, which has the four tefachim airspace, must be attributed to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who allows Lavud up to four tefachim, is Reisha Nami Rav Shimon Gamliel. We should work overtime to reconcile the Reisha with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And how are we going to do this? V'chi Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel Amrinan Lavud, under what circumstances does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel expand Lavud from three tefachim to include even four tefachim ani mili? That's only Lamala. That means if you have a mechitza, and then there's an airspace above that mechitza, and you want to connect it with another beam, you can close up that area, and you can be so same, even if you have up to four tefachim av lamata. But let's say you have a mechitza that's going down towards the ground, and there's airspace between the end of the mechitza and the ground, then if that airspace is three tefachim, even Rav Shimon Galil would concede that we cannot apply the principle of lavud. Why not? Because the goats will break through this open airspace, And therefore, lo amrinam lavud. The purpose of lavud is to guarantee that the goats will not get through the airspace. That only applies on top, because the small goats will not be able to climb up on top to get through this airspace. But if you're talking about on the bottom, where the gedim are able to go through and break through, then we're not going to say lavud if there is a 3 tefachim airspace between the ground and the end of the mechitza going from top to bottom, because now the gedim could go through this area that's an airspace of 3 tefachim. Tashma, the Gemara now goes back to the shita of Rav Papa, who holds parts ka'omi domi is mutter. We have a braisa that says Tefanos halalu. If a person sets up these walls, Sheruban Psachim Vechalonos, the wall that surrounds this area is mostly made up of windows, open passageways, Mutter. We can still rely on the Mechitza, even though it's Ruban Psachim Vechalonos. And then the Braisa says, "Ubelvad shehei omed merub al haparutz," because it's more omed than parutz. I mean, there's a contradiction here between the Reisha and the Sefer, because the Reisha says it's mostly psachim and chalono. So then it says it's omed merub al haparutz. So the Gemara asks, "Ruban sharuban salked daitoch?" Can you entertain the possibility that we take this Braisa and interpret it literally, that most of the area that's surrounded by this dofen is made up of open spaces and windows? That would certainly be paritz merubala omit. So how could the Braisa then go ahead and say that we're talking about bilvachi e omit merubala paritz? Ella, but you have to reinterpret the Braisa. Sheriba bahen psachim v'chalonos. It's not describing most of the area that's being surrounded here, and it's mostly windows. That's impossible. That would be parts merubala omid. But rather, riba ben means he knocked out windows to such an extent that there are many, many openings here in his dofen. It still has the status of mechitza mutter. Why? Bilvachie omid merubala parts. Even though he made many windows, but he still has more omid than parts. But you see clearly from this braisa that you need to have more omed than parts. That's against Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that even if they're equal, it's also valid. So let's be medayik from the braisa that says bilvachie omed merubal parts ha parts ha kib parts. If it would have been omed kib parts 50-50 equal asur tiufta de Rav Papa, this braisa certainly rejects the sheet of Rav Papa. And the final conclusion of this whole sugya is tiufta. We have a braisa that we've proven contradicts Rav Papa, but Hilchos HaKavasei de Rav Papa, but we're going to paskin like Rav Papa. So imagine in one breath, the Gemara says that the braisa contradicts Rav Papa, but we paskin like Rav Papa. Tiuvta veHilchos, how could that be? In, yes, despite the tiuvta from this braisa, we're going to paskin like Rav Papa. And why is that? Mishum deDaika Masnisa Kavasei, because if we read the Mishnah back on Taf Tezvav carefully, we will see that it reflects the shita of Rav Papa. Why does not? It says, "Lo you protos yeseros ala binyan," that you shouldn't have more open spaces than the closed spaces. Hakib binyan, implying that if they would be equal, mutar. So you see clearly from this diuk in the Mishnah that paritz ka'omi domi is mutar, and therefore we're going to pass it like Rav Papa based on the Mishnah. And now we begin the Mishnah here on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. This Mishnah is going to talk about a Shayara, which is a caravan of people that set up their camp in a Bikka. We began discussing this back in the previous Mishnah, and now the Mishnah is going to add certain details as to how the Bnei HaShayara should circle their area where they are encamped. Makifin Shlosha chavolim lemala zemizeh vizeh lemala mizeh. They could, in the first option, back in the previous Mishnah, we had the camels and the packages and so forth and so on. They formed the mechitza. Now, what he's doing is, he is creating a mechitza that goes around the camp, and he has the following options. Number one, the first option of Shlosha Chavolim. All the options are going to be three chavolim, meaning three ropes that are either one next to each other or one on top of the one on top of the other. And the first option is one is on top of the other. So we're talking about now a horizontal set of three chavolim. And bilvad shaloye ben chevel lechevel shlosha tfachim. If the distance between one rope and the one above it is less than three tfachim, then we can apply the principle of lavud, and it's a valid mechitza. However, the Mishnah adds one qualification. And also, by the way, we have to add another point here that I didn't emphasize, and that is from the ground up to the top chevel, the top of the three ropes, is a minimum of 10 tfachim, because a mechitza has to have a height of 10 tfachim, minimum. But now he adds another condition, and that is v'shir chavolim ovyon yesar al tefach. We have to guarantee that the rope is, if you add the ropes together, then the total thickness of the ropes will equal one tefach. Why? Kidei sheyehei hakol asara tefachim. Right, because if you only have, let's say, an airspace of up to three tefachim between each chevel, then the top chevel will only be nine tefachim from the ground. Right, because three times three is nine. But in order to make sure that you have that extra tefach of height equal to 10 tefachim, you have to add the thickness of the chevel. So you're adding not only the space, the airspace between one chevel and the other as we go bottom up, but you also have the thickness of the chevel. And if the total thickness of the chevel is one tefach, that'll make up the difference between 9 and 10 and guarantee that you have a height of 10 tefachim. Now, the mechitza that we're speaking about that goes horizontally is called Erev. And that's just something that you have to memorize. Because when we talk about a mechitza sakonim, which means reeds and poles that are vertical, then we're talking about something called Shisi. So we have Erev and Shisi. Erev means horizontal, and Shisi means vertical. And that's just something that we have to memorize. I wish I had a mnemonic device for this, but I don't have one. So let me just take out a piece of paper here, and we'll just simply write it down. Okay, then? So you have Erev, and that's considered from side to side. Okay, that means horizontal. And you have Shisi, and Shisi means vertical. That means up and down. So if your arrow goes this way, from right to left, from Mizrach to Marav, then it's called Erev. If your arrow goes from Safon to Durham vertically, then you talk about Shisi. So our Mishnah so far has been discussing the case of a Mechitzas Erev. Okay. Now, the Mishnah is going to offer another possibility, which is called a mechitza of shisi, which we said was going up and down. These terms are familiar to us from Leches Ariga in Shabbos. Makifim bekanim, you could surround the camp with poles that go vertically, and they are 10 tefachim high. But on the condition shaloye ben kana lechavero shlosha tfachim, there should not be a distance between one pole and the next of three tfachim, because we need to apply the principle of lavud in order to enclose this area, make sure it's completely sus, and we can only do that if the airspace, the distance between one pole and the next, is up to but not equal to three tfachim. And again, this is a mechitza shel shisi, which means that the mechitza goes up and down. Now the Mishnah goes on to say that there's machlokas tanoim about these leniencies that we saw in our Mishnah, allowing for a mechitza shel chavolim, or mechitza shel kanim. And the Mishnah had opened up with the word shayara. So the Mishnah now quotes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "B'shayara dibru." We're talking about a shayara. Now, a minimum shayara is shlosha b'nei adam. So, if let's say there are only two people that are camping there, they would not be allowed to use these mechitzos, neither erev nor shasi. Chachamim omrim. However, according to the Chachamim, is even an individual, one person, can set up these mechitzos to allow him to carry. Lo divi b'shayara el bahova. The only reason why the Mishnah opens up with the word shayara, a caravan or a group, is only because bahova, that's the normal situation in which, you know, you have a person that's traveling on through the fields and the desert areas, wherever he goes. These are shayaros. Now the Mishnah quotes a third opinion: Kol mechitza she'ena shel shesi v'shel arev shel erev ena mechitza. In other words, you need a shesi or an erev, and if the mechitza is not shesi ve'erev. See, the vav here is the critical point to understand Rabbi Yossi, who is the last Tana mentioned in this Mishnah. The vav means that you need both shesi and erev. Right? You need a kind of a weaving situation where you have both the horizontal and the vertical poles, or shall we say, ropes. And if you don't have both shasi and erev, you only have one of the two, it's either shasi or it's erev, ena mechitza. And that means that even if you have a shayara, there was no leniency to allow for a mechitza of shasi or a mechitza shel erev. You need both. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachomim omrim echad mishnei dvarim. Meaning that if it's either shesi or it's erev, it's a mechitza that could be matir the tiltal inside this area that's circumscribed by the chavolim or by the konim for the sake of a shayor. Again, according to Chacham, a shayor means even one person. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means a minimum of three people. The Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav, Hare Amru, the Chachamim, back in the Mishnah, previous Mishnah, said that Omeid Meruval Aparutz, Bishasi, in a case of a vertical mechitza, where the poles are going from the ground up in a vertical position, Havi Omeid. Omeid means it's a mechitza kshera. And therefore, it says there in the Mishnah, Chayor Shechonsa Bibika Vikifua Klei Behema Metaltal Bitocha. Remember, we piled up various utensils and sacks and grains and so forth. They were going vertically, which is called Shisi. However, the Mishnah doesn't say. And the Mishnah, with regard to Shasi, the previous Mishnah stipulates that you need Omeid Meruva al Aparutz. And if, on the other hand, it would be Parutz Meruva al Omeid, then it would be an invalid Mechitza. So that distinction between Parutz Meruva al Omeid and Omeid Meruva al Aparutz was explicitly formulated in the previous Mishnah in the case of Shasi, vertical poles. Boy Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna has the following suffix. And there's going to be a Havamina, how to interpret Rav Hamnuna, and then a Maskana. But now we're in the Havamina. The Gemara understands that Be'erev, and Erev we said was a horizontal mechitza, otherwise known as rochav, right, to the width, one chevel on top of the other, mai. What's the din in this case? In this mechitza, do the Chachamim apply the principle as they did in the case of Shasi, of Omed Merubal Aparts, which means that if within this height of 10 tfachim of the mechitza, you will require, it would be sufficient, I should say, to have 6 tfachim of Omed and 4 tfachim of Parts. And we're talking about a case where we don't have lavut, so it's there's airspace of more than 3 tfachim. But nevertheless, we can be makshir the mechitza based on omed merubal aparts. And Rav Hemnuna vacillates about this. He thinks that maybe omed merubal aparts is only applicable to a mechitza of shasi, but not to a mechitza of Erev. And here in the note, in the Masifta, he quotes the Gaon Yaakov, who tries to explain why would there be a difference between mechitzos of Erev and mechitzos of Shasi. And he writes, Ein derech b'nei Adam lasos psachim b'emtza mechitza l'rochba. He says that when you set up a mechitza that's made up of vertical poles, it's very often that you... very common that you set up airspace between one pole and the other, and therefore we can apply the principle of omed merubal aparts. But in a case of a horizontal mechitza, which means one chevel on top of the other in an erev situation, then it's not generally the case that they used to leave air spaces between one and the other. Okay. Just thinking that I may have left something out over here. Just one second. Okay. So that's the suffix of Rav Hamnuna. Omar Abaye, Toshma. I'm going to be poshate this suffix. The Mishnah says, Shir chavolim v'ovyom yeser al tefach, shiu hakol asor tfachim. We must make sure that we have a height of 10 tfachim. And if we have airspace between the chavolim, then we need to guarantee that the last tefach is supplied by the thickness of the chavolim. V'im isa. If you're going to tell me that even in a mechitza that's horizontal, that's Erev, is you need Omed Merubal Aparots, is Lomali Yeser Al Tefach, why do you have to guarantee that the thickness of the Chavolim is more than a Tefach? Li Avid Pachos Mishlosha V'Chevel Mashu. He should set up a distance, an airspace, between one Chevel of the other, which is less than 3 tfachim, and he can stretch out his chevel, his rope, even if it has only a mashu of pachos mishlosha, v'chevel mashu pachos me'arba, v'chevel mashu. Meaning that if he sets up 2 out of the 3 chavolim at a distance of less than 3 tfachim, then that automatically guarantees you that you have omed merubal aparts. Why? Because if you have 2 chavolim and the separation is less than 3 tfachim, we say lavud and it's kisasum. So memela, because you have less than 3 tfachim here and less than 3 tfachim here, then you already have a sasum through the principle of lavud that will cover most of the 10 tfachim. So it's as if most of the 10 tfachim is closed, and you have omed merubal aparts. And therefore, once you have 2 chavolim that are sosvim biyachad, that the combined effort of these two ropes will close an area of six tfachim because of lavud, and even if the halal, the empty space between with regard to the third chevel, if it has less than four tfachim, so then you could be machshir this mechitza midin omed meruba al aparetz, because you have an omed of six tfachim and a meruba of an aparetz of four tfachim. The Mishnah did not offer you that option. We should derive from that omission that the din of omed meruba al aparetz does not apply to mechitza of erev. It only applies to mechitza of shisi. And now the Gemara is going to reject Abaye. Vitizbara, do you really think that you can set up this Mishnah in the Mechitza of Erev in a case where there are two spaces, Revachim, of less than three Tfachim, and one is less than four Tfachim? He says, hi, this case of an Avir of Pachos Me'ar B'Tfachim Hechi Mukamli. The Gemara is going to now analyze three possible scenarios as to where the open space of 3.9 tfachim is going to be. Imukim le tatoi. If from the ground up to the lowest of the three, the lower of the three chavolim, there's going to be an airspace of 3.9 tfachim, that's going to undermine the whole mechitza. Even if you have six tfachim stumim above that area that's 3.9, Havi leikim mechitza shagadoyim bokim ba. We said over and over again that if from the ground until the first one of your amudim or of your chavolim in this case is more than three tfachim, then the gedim break through, and that's going to undermine the mechitza. So therefore, even if you have above this revach of 3.9, you have a mechitza of 10 tfachim shleimim, it wouldn't make any difference. The ibukim le iloi. And if you're going to tell me that the 4 tfachim, or 3.9 tfachim airspace, is on the top of the 3 chavolim, and here he has a picture of it. I don't know if you have the same picture. So now your 6 tfachim of sasum through lavud is on the bottom two-thirds, meaning two-thirds going up, is then osi avir dahai gisu mevatale. We have another principle that is going to disqualify the mechitza, and that is that you have airspace of more than three tfachim on both sides, right? Because the top chevel has no chevel above it, so there's airspace on that side, and then below that chevel, between the first and the second, going from top to bottom, you have an airspace of 3.9. You have now airspace on both sides, and that's going to be mevatel lemechitza. So since above the chevel ha'elyon and right below it you have airspace that is wider than the thickness of three tfachim, that's going to be mevatel that mechitza. Oh, now we go to the process of elimination, the third possibility. And that is imukim le bimitziye. And once again, I have a diagram here in which the middle of these three chavolim that are horizontal has a halal and airspace of 3.9 tfachim right there in the middle of the height of the mechitza. Then we have another principle that's going to disqualify this mechitza. Havile omed merubal aparts mishtei ruchos. Although there is a principle of omei merubal aparutz, but it cannot be on two sides. Every side of omei in and of itself should not be merubal aparutz. And if each omei is three tfachim, and the parutz, which is close to four tfachim, is a tziruf of two amudim, the only way is you can integrate two amudim, and that's going to give you omed merubal aparetz, that's not valid, because then it's mishtei ruchos, And this we discussed, if you remember, when we talked about a Pesach Mavui, and you were setting up enclosures and mudim, and we made sure that you weren't you didn't rely upon both tzadim on two different sides in order to calculate omed meruv al aparet. It's got to be omed meruv al aparet. I have to point to something that is omed meruv al aparet. Ishma mina, should we derive from this that omed meruv al aparet mishtei ruchos havi omed? That's valid. We know that that's not so. So the bottom line is that you cannot bring any proof from our mission as far as the suffix of Rav Hamnun is concerned, because even if you were to say that there's a din of omed meruv al aparet in a mechitzas erev, nevertheless we would not be able to interpret our Mishnah in a scenario where one of the revachim, one of the airspaces, would be more than three tefachim. It just doesn't work out in any of the cases. And therefore the Gemara says now that we have to reinterpret the suffix of Rav Hamnuna. And that's what the Gemara is going to do. Ella Rav Hamnuna hachi kami boile. And this is going to be the reformulation of the suffix of Rav Hamnuna.